Well, good Saturday afternoon to all of you. Hope you're having a good weekend. This weather in South Carolina, you can get frostbite and sunburn in the same day. Some people said if you don't like the weather, just hang on a couple hours, it'll change. But welcome into Woods and Water, South Carolina, flying solo today. Taylor is unavailable. It's, man, I tell you, it'll be, you know, we're going to have to do something. She turns 18 in like a week. Oh, my gosh, less than a week. I need to figure out something to do on the show for that one. Anyway, in high school, you know, trying to graduate, trying to keep those grades going and all that. It's she digs for it. She really does. I will say that about her. It doesn't come easy, and she is motivated, and she wants to exempt one of her exams. So she is unavailable today, but it's not because she's in bed asleep. I'll put it that way. But glad you're with us. We're gonna today. We were going to do the Classic recap. We recorded some segments during Media Day at the Classic, and for some reason or another, three of them didn't turn out. So with Taylor not being here and being able to talk about the Classic and all that she did there, all that I did there, we're going to push the Classic show back to next Saturday. We might even, if I can't salvage some of those other ones, we might even get a hold of those people and redo those segments with them. Because it was some good stuff. It's people you don't normally, I don't normally have here because they're not in South Carolina, or the, and we've got so much right here in the state that sometimes it's hard to justify going out and finding somebody. But this was having the Classic here. You've got a bunch of people in one location that you know they're accessible. That's the cool thing about it. But yeah, so we'll push that off and. I'll run this solo as long as I can hold up. Goodness, dog tired. That's what it is. It's, you know, running around on the lake for a couple of days as a media marshal. You know, it, those are early mornings and long days, and then you got weigh-ins at night and other activities going on. Then you got the expo to cover and, So I came out Sunday night with a big head cold and chest cold, and it's still with me, and better than it was, but gosh, it's aggravating. Ugh. But yeah, okay, so the Bassmaster, I do, you can't ignore the elephant in the room. Jason Christie, after a couple of second places, in fact, wow, you know, he's had brushes with it several times. Won the Classic. He, 48 years old. Yeah, he's had to live with the crushing weight of leading Pro Fishing's biggest event twice on the final day, only to fall short. And, you know, he came back and re-qualified for the Elites through the Opens, or did he come back through on the Legends exemption? I forget which one he came back through, but, yeah, 3-day total of 54 pounds even. And 5 ounces better than second place finisher Kyle Welcher. The official numbers: 154,932 fans. Christie won $300,000. And let's see. I was going to see here now. Let's see. Where did I see that earlier? Results. Let's see. So Jason Christie won, Kyle Welcher second, Stetson Blaylock third, Justin Hamner was fourth. He is a Falcon Pro. Brian New finished ninth. He's a Falcon Pro. Patrick Walters finished 12th. He's a Falcon Pro. Matt Airy, who I rode with on practice day, finished 14th. Hank Cherry, who was trying to three-peat, finished 17th. Let's see, Brandon Cobb finished 34th, and he's a Falcon guy, and Jacob Prosnick, another Falcon guy, finished 36th. Let's see if there's anybody else I want to mention. Austin Felix, my good buddy from up Minnesota, finished 40th. Seth Vider, 47th. Wow. Brandon Pollenick, 49th. Shane LaHue, 50th. And Matty Wong, who pretty much has the personality, finished 54th. So, yeah, big weekend. I hope you were part of it. Got some pictures up on the Facebook page if you want to go check them out. You know, next time the Classic is close, it's worth driving to. I promise you. Good stuff. So let's. I got a short calendar of events here, brought to you by Capital City Lake Murray Country down around Lake Murray. And the first one, got a bunch of events here through the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. One of which is the Botany Bay Wildlife Management Guided Beach Walk. It's Friday, March the 25th, from 10 to 12. You need RSVP at the Department of Natural Resources website. Let's see here now. There is a Botany Bay Wildlife Management Area Bird Watching Trailer Tour, which is Saturday, March 18th from 9 to 12. There's some volunteer opportunities that DNR's got out there. And we've talked about this before. This is SCORE. This is the Oyster Reef, Recycling Oyster Reef Program. Weekly oyster shell trash sorting and weekly seeding plantings. There's an event calendar on the Department of Natural Resources under the SCORE or at the SCORE website that'll give specific times and locations. Let's see, they're going to build an oyster reef in Bluffton, South Carolina on Monday, March 28th and Tuesday, March 29th from 11 to 2. And, like I said, more information at the Department of Natural Resources. And I think if you do SCORE, let's see, SCORE, oyster. Let's see. Yeah, there's the oysterrecovery.org, which is the partnership SCORE. It's got a website, www.oysterrecovery.org, South Carolina. So there you go. And they give you something. You can also get all information at the Department of Natural Resources webpage for that. If you missed the Charleston one, there's one in Asheville. That is the Fly Fishing Film Tour is headed to Asheville to Hunter Banks Fly Fishing. It's going to be hosted by Hunter Banks Fly Fishing, held at the Highland Brewing Company, March the 18th at 6 o'clock in Asheville, North Carolina. So let's see, when's it going to start? Doors open at 6 p.m., showtime's at 7. Tickets available at Hunter Banks Fly Fishing. And there's all sorts of stuff. There's raffle ticket sales and all sorts of other stuff. Always a good time watching some guys wave a fairy wand. Miss my fly fishing tremendously. Artemis, South Carolina. If you don't know, this is the women's organization here in South Carolina that's trying to get more women involved in all the outdoors. They're having a 2022 turkey camp. Join us for 2 days of turkey hunting, camping, and hiking in the Sumter National Forest. All experience levels welcome. Space is limited, and I didn't check this, so you might need to figure out if they've got room or not. April 7th through the 9th, registration will open. It's been open since February 25th. But again, like I said, you might need to get out on this one. Wait a minute. Okay, so that's going with the other thing. Okay. So, yeah, that's the calendar events. And, my gosh, it's just not enough time to get to everything. Sorry. There's so much going on right now. So much going on. And we'll get to as much as we can. But only got so many minutes in this show. We are going to talk with Jim Goller from the Harry Hampton Wildlife Fund about one of his dinners coming up. And we'll get to the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic briefly. So, y'all... hang in there. We'll be back with more Woods and Water, South Carolina. Jim Goller and the Harry Hampton Wildlife Fund on the other side of the break. The best that, I can. Oh, best that I You know, welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina, first of all. And, you know, the band at the Bassmaster Classic Expo, Steel Stilettos or somebody, they played this. They were really good. They played for several hours solid, but they never played, like, the whole song, like, all the verses. They'd play, like, a couple of verses and then go right into the next one. They were really good, but them, you know, a band that can play country music, rock and roll, and stuff like this is a pretty good band. And I had that in there, not because of my next guest is old, but I knew he appreciates good music. And Jim, that's good music right there.
Excellent music, Roger.
Oh, we are talking to Jim Goller. He is, well, I'm going to let him explain to you who he is, because it's been a couple of years we talked to Jim, probably since probably 2019, because, you know, both the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic and your banquets have been kind of COVID deleted over the last couple of years, and this year we're trying to get everything back up. You've got a dinner coming up, the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic coming up. So I'm not gonna try to speak for you. I want you to take a couple minutes, introduce yourself, and introduce the Hampton Wildlife Fund, because that's essentially who is benefiting almost from both of these events. Introduce yourself and talk about the Harry Hampton Wildlife Fund, and then we'll get into some details on some of the other stuff.
Well, thank you, Roger, and let me stop for just a moment and
sure.
say a special thanks to you for hosting us and giving Harry Hampton and the Palmetto Classic just a little bit of exposure here. We do appreciate it.
Absolutely. Love the mission of both of them.
Well, I am the executive director of the Hampton Wildlife Fund. I'm a DNR retiree, retired as marketing director for the agency back in 2003 and took over the Hampton Fund. And it's a labor of love, I can tell you that. I really believe in the outdoor resources of South Carolina and what we do. I'll give you an example of what we do for DNR.
Sure.
We are the primary co-sponsor of the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic that you mentioned.
Right.
And we host a number of fundraising banquets throughout the state, one of which I produce in Columbia that's coming up, the
right.
Wildlife Extravaganza. But all the monies that we raise go to DNR to support programs for youth, for ladies, for programs like Operation Game Thief.
Sure.
In the background, where if you find a hunting or fishing violation, you can call in and get a reward. Things that DNR cannot fund through federal and state funding. So.
Right.
We fill that gap. We feel like we're an important partner with DNR in being able to bring programs to like shooting sports. It's so big in the high schools
now
and middle schools, shotgun sports, archery in the schools program. I learned an important statistic that shooting sports in South Carolina high schools, If you look at it nationwide, Roger,
right,
more shells are shot in shooting sports programs than all of hunting. So it's a pretty big statistic. We have been in existence since 1981.
All right.
The fund is named for Harry Hampton.
Now, who is Harry
Hampton? Harry R.E. Hampton was, I kind of call him the founding father of South Carolina's conservation movement.
Okay.
The South Carolina's first true conservationist. He came along, born in 1897, at a time when market gunning for ducks and wanton waste of wildlife, there seemed no end to wildlife resources. And as we all know, that was a big mistake back in the last century.
Sure.
So Hampton championed conservation measures. Those familiar with South Carolina know that the Congaree Swamp was named as a national monument during Hampton's campaign with Washington to try to get it established as such, and now it's the state's only national park. Hampton was a columnist for the state newspaper out of Columbia. He wrote a column called Woods and Waters, believe it or not.
Wow.
And I know I'm tending to ramble a
sure.
bit, but if you pick up the book Woods and Waters, you will see just how much rambling Harry did when he was concerned with duck hunting and quail hunting and every aspect of fishing in the state. He was known for his passion of the resources. The other thing that Harry did that I think all of us can thank him for is he lobbied the South Carolina State Legislature very heavily for the creation of the South Carolina Wildlife Commission way back in the 50s, prior to the 50s. As you might know, back in the day, there were rabbit sheriffs out there, but there wasn't an established game and fish agency. Sure. So out of the Wildlife Commission was born the old South Carolina Wildlife Department.
Right.
It evolved into South Carolina Wildlife and Marine Resources, followed by our current day with the merger of other agencies to become South Carolina Department of Natural Resources.
Wow.
So Harry was in a big way instrumental in all of that. He battled for years with that Congaree swamp, you know, fighting for that national monument. And, you know, he was asked one time, you know, what made him so personally responsible for wild animals and places in South Carolina. And he said, just bullheadedness, I guess, is at the bottom of it. And he was bullheaded in his attack on the Congress of the United States and the South Carolina legislature.
You know, speaking of Congaree National Park, it's 26,000 acres.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's huge. It is. It's essential. And, you know, Hopkins, somewhere right there west of Hopkins, South Carolina, is the center of South Carolina, the geographic center of South Carolina. So it's like exactly. The centerpiece of South Carolina. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and I can't remember this for sure, but aren't some of the tallest trees in the state located in the Congaree National Forest?
Yes, sir. I believe you're correct on that.
I think that's – let's see. Oh, yeah, here we go. Champion tree is the world's tallest known example of 15 species, 167-foot loblolly pine, 157-foot sweet gum. Oh, boy, there's a sweet gum. 154-foot cherry bark oak. 135-foot American elm, 133-foot swamp chestnut tree, 131-foot overcup oak, and 127-foot common persimmon tree.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Tom Mulliken, South Carolina 7. You know, they hiked the Palmetto Trail and all that, and that's how I knew about the trees, because he brought that up when we were talking about Congaree. He said it's home to, you know, the record, so many record tall trees and all.
Exactly.
So,
interesting.
Yeah. It's and that's, you know, we talked about this show and all, and that's the outdoors, man. The more layers you peel off, the more stuff is there for you to learn.
It is. It truly is. And speaking of learning, I think that's one of the things that we with the Hampton Fund are interested in is getting the message of Department of Natural Resources out to the citizens
sure.
of the state.
Yep.
And one of our crowning achievements, I believe, is scholarships for children in South Carolina attending South Carolina schools.
Yep.
We have a program that awards some $40,000 a year in scholarships in marine science and wildlife. We have criminology, law enforcement. We have, believe it or not, journalism. Probably one of the few journalism scholarships, you know, anywhere around.
Yeah, yeah.
And that particular scholarship is named for our first chairman, James O. Thomason, an attorney from Spartanburg. So that is available for people going into mass communications, photography, you know, writing, you know, creative writing and that type of thing,
sure.
whatever journalism major they may care to participate in. But
you know,
we also have a number of scholarships for DNR, parents only, law enforcement and general DNR. And we're very proud of those also.
Yeah, I mean, you've named off a bunch of stuff, but I mean, the South Carolina Wildlife Magazine Photography Contest, Camp Wildwood, which you know, Camp Wildwood fills up in like October, November now.
I know, yeah. I know.
Unreal.
You know, Dan Dupree.
Oh, yeah.
He is the director of the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic. He's also the director of Camp Wildwood.
That's right.
He has a full plate.
Yeah, and he has a lot of fun with both of them. But you mentioned Operation Game Thief, Hooked on Fishing, Not Drugs, Take One, Make One, Archery in School, Shooting Sports Comp Scholarships, James O. Thompson Shooting Range.
Yeah.
Sassafras Mountain Improvement Project, Jocassee Gorges Visitor Center, Cycling on the Governor's Billfish Series, which we're going to talk some later on this spring. We're going to talk with those people. Marine Education Center. These are all things that y'all support because DNR doesn't have those available funds.
Right. And we've acted also in the background of a number of projects. Roger, you may not be aware of. We actually built our own artificial reef.
Oh, yeah.
For one of our board members, Bruce Rush.
Yep.
And currently, we are managing the finances for the South Carolina Memorial Deepwater Reef Project. I don't know if you're aware of the boat that's going to be sunk out there.
Yeah, but, I think I read something about this.
Yeah, it was featured in the series Outer Banks.
Oh, wow.
It was a ship that was in the last two episodes of the first season. And we were able to help DNR secure that. And we've gotten a host of large contributions as well as small contributions from across the state and outside of South Carolina to help facilitate that project. But it will, the South Carolina Deepwater Reef area is just a truly unique area in that it's federally protected for bottom species, but yet people like the Governor's Cup
troll all over it all day long.
They can troll over it all day. Exactly.
That's
right.
It. Oh, wow. Well, Jim, guess what?
Yes, sir.
We have eaten up a segment.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I told you, when you and I get on, when people who like to talk get on a radio show together, time just flies. but luckily, we got another segment because we want to talk about, you know, Harry Hampton Fund is here to do all this stuff. We're going to talk about a couple fundraising opportunities here this month that everybody can take part in, whether you're there or whether you're remote. So y'all hang on. We're going to take a break. Come back with more Woods and Water South Con, Jim Goller, and Harry Hampton Fund on the other side of the break. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Thanks for hanging in there with us through a couple of minutes of station break and whatever they do at the bottom of the hour. I don't even know what they do anymore, but I think there's a little bit of news in there and station ID and whatever else. But thanks for hanging through. We are, we're talking with Jim Goller, who has gotten to be a really good friend of mine. Even though, Jim, we don't see each other a whole lot. We bounce off of each other when we see each other, and we message or text or call every once in a while and kind of keep up with each other. I see your pictures on Facebook, and you're always fishing, Jim. You're always out there chasing redfish. killing me.
I always have that Hampton Wildlife Fund hat on.
That's right.
Those fish are friends of ours.
That's right. That's right. Some of them probably repeat friends.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about the Hampton Wildlife Fund. And we really went through the guts of it last time, and I think a lot of people probably have a clearer picture of what it is, what it does, how it was established, and the history of it. Now it's time to talk about the fundraising, because during the year there are several fundraising events that come up where, you know, essentially you get all your money that you spend with or give to DNR to help them with some of those projects we talked about. So the first one we got coming up is March 24th,
yes sir,
which is, you know, a couple of weeks out. So talk to us about that one a little bit.
Okay, well, this will be our second annual Hampton Wildlife Fund Extravaganza Wild Game Dinner and Auction, Roger. I originally titled that the Hampton Wildlife Fund Ball.
Yeah.
And so many people came in dressed up too much.
Oh, no.
The others hollered at me and said, I don't want to dress up. So I just kind of changed the name a little bit.
Sure.
Make everybody feel comfortable.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
We just are getting started with this really good, primarily to benefit DNR youth programs and continuing education.
Okay.
And to explain that a bit, we talked in the other segment a little bit about shotguns, forwards, sure, and archery in schools. So those are youth programs that we support. But continuing education, we also want to try to help out some DNR folks that are looking at getting their degrees and graduate degrees. So we'll try to help them a little bit also.
Okay.
And that'll be something kind of new to add to our scholarship program.
Oh, but wow.
I just wanted to take a moment to say that over the years, we have now given DNR a little over $4.2 million.
Wow.
And since 95, we've awarded a little under $610,000 in scholarships to South Carolina students. So we're real proud of that. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to raise funds so we can continue along these lines. The Wally Aim Dinner and Auction is going to be a lot of fun. It's in Columbia, yep, March 24th, 6 p.m. at Seawells Catering. That's 1200 Rosewood Drive in Columbia, across from State Fairgrounds.
Yeah, I was just going to say, right across the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we did this to kind of kick off the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic with a little event. And hopefully we can get people in the door to enjoy, I think, some terrific wild game. We're going to have, we'll have wild pig that DNR cook team will chase down and barbecue for us. And then we'll have some fried fish and some shrimp and grits, some bacon wrapped quail, just a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Slit serve everyone's palate.
Okay.
And of course, there'll be some libations available. But we will have both a live and silent auction, and we've got some terrific items. I mean, we've got trips from everywhere from South America to right here locally. We've got hunts all over South Carolina. We've got a turkey hunt, a dove hunt, a deer and hog hunt in two different locations, and even a quail hunt, believe it or not. So we've got all those things going, together with Lake Murray guided striped bass fishing trips and saltwater inshore trips. We're still working on getting a offshore trip,
okay,
donated to us to auction off. But we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have some music there, a little bluegrass going. And,
all right.
The silent auction will be geared to those that, you know, not as rich. My blood's not too rich to bid on some of these things.
Sure.
We'll have some down-to-earth things that even I can afford.
All right.
And we're going to have some giveaways. When you walk in the door, you can buy some tickets and drop them in barrels. We'll have generators and kayaks and surprise coolers, a little bit of everything for you to, you know, get your feet wet on.
Sure.
And we'll even have a big flat top griddle.
Ah.
And a few other things. So we've got some Tupelo gum barbecue bowls, handmade in South Carolina, some with artwork in them. It's just too much for me to name.
Sure. And then you got a 5-gun raffle. And I know this is a limited ticket sale. It's only 150 tickets. And you said, yeah, what, like 15 or 16 left?
I think I've got about 16 left.
Okay.
And, you know, you can't get better odds, Roger. It's only 150 tickets.
Right.
They are $100 a piece, but that's a 1 in 150 chance to win. If you buy two, it's 1 in 75.
That's right.
You just keep on whittling it down. Buy all you want.
Sure.
You buy all 16 and get the odds way down.
And it's but, I mean, Benelli's, shotguns, rifles, Tika.
Yeah, that Tika is a hot round 6.5 Creedmoor.
Savage waterfowl gun.
Yes, sir.
Springfield Hellcat.
Right. We got that little 9mm.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, we're going to be running some card tricks where you'll buy a card, tear it half, and we'll draw you for some. There'll be a ladies' gun. There'll be another pistol, probably a rifle or two. And I think the Wild Turkey Federation of South Carolina has given us a shotgun. And I might even be known to kind of go in the back door with a couple of other guns to probably give away to some of our sponsors and donors.
Very good. Well, so that's the thing. How do people get information on that?
Well, the best way for them to get a ticket into the door or to find out, they can go on our website, HamptonWildlifeFund.org, and click on events and go to the ball and find my telephone number. But if it's okay to give it out,
sure.
I can tell them they can call me, 803-600-1570.
There you go.
And they can also call Sandra, Sandra Rucker in Columbia. She works part-time for me and for DNR.
Okay.
Sandy's just a great gal. She'll take care of you, too, at 803-603-1570.
All right.
So there the last four digits are the same in both, just the prefix is different.
Absolutely. And then the other thing, and gosh, we only got about two and a half minutes left, is the Palmetto Sportsman's Classics coming up the day after your banquet, starting on the 25th through the 27th. I texted with Dan Dupree. You got over 340 vendors, which is more than the Bassmaster Classic had this past weekend. That's a lot of vendors.
It is a lot of vendors. The Classic is the largest outdoor hunting and fishing show east of the Mississippi, other than Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It's been running.
Wow.
This will be our 36th show.
Wow. Pretty cool. And you can
a little bit of things for everyone.
Oh, my gosh.
RVs, fishing tackle, hunting items, anything you can think of. And terrific educational opportunity for the kids.
Yes.
DNR is there in force, talking about all of their various aspects. And there's a little kid's fishing pond. You can have a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Even you and I might be able to catch a fish.
Well, you know, I was just fixing to say it's they can't run from you in that little pond. That's a nice thing. But, see, you still can't make them bite, you know?
That's true. That's true.
You know, but, yeah, there is nothing finer, Jim, than to be at that pond, because I've been there many times watching those kids, and some little kid goes, "I got one, I got one," you know, and they horse it over the side, and the kid looks like they're, "Now what I do with it," you know?
Roger, you know, I was director of that show for a number of years while I was with DNR. And when I took it over, it was kind of a turkey hunting show, and I tried to help branch it out. Now it just does my heart good to be on that midway or runway around noon on a Sunday and see all the baby strollers.
Oh, yeah.
I have people come up to me and said, "Not only did my dad bring me here, I'm bringing my son and my grandson."
Absolutely.
Here. I mean, it's a rite of passage in South Carolina.
You better believe it. And you got to be ready for anything, because there's people blowing duck calls. There's people scratching turkey slates. There's people buying fishing tackle. There's beef jerky and sweets. And, I mean, you know, hey, smoked turkey legs and funnel cakes outside. There's tractors, boats. Lord have mercy, and dogs and retriever demos and little seminars going on. It's a great thing, a great thing. Got about 30 seconds. I'll give it to you. Wrap it up.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention my flagship sponsor.
All right.
Of both the Classic, which is Farm Bureau.
All right.
And of my banquet, which is Grand South Bank, headquartered right there in Greenville.
Absolutely. Jim, it's always a pleasure, always an honor to have you on. One of these days we need to go fishing together. You know, we say that to a lot of people, but we need to make this happen, Jim.
Well, you know what? It's a lot closer from Greenville to Beaufort than it is from Beaufort to Greenville. So you come on down.
I will do that.
I'll take you.
All right, Jim. Well, you take care of yourself. Thanks for your time today, and we'll talk soon. And now, folks, PSCClassic.com is where you go for more information on the Sportsman Classic. Hang on. We'll be right back with more Woods and Water, South Carolina. Yeah. An oldie but goodie. Not as old as some of their first stuff, but yeah, Loverboy, Mike Reno. Gotta love them. So, now you know a little bit more about the Harry Hampton Fund, who Harry Hampton was. A little bonus information on the Congaree National Forest down there. And I hope when you have an opportunity to donate, whether it's, you know, I mean, they're 501c3. You can write them a check any time of the year. If you feel so led, When these banquets come around, I know there's that one. There's usually one in, oh, I think there's a big one in Rock Hill every year in like May or June. I have to look that up as it gets closer to it. Then the Palmetto Sportsman Classic. I mean, it's those proceeds go to help the Department of Natural Resources fund a lot of those programs we talked about and more. There's more of them than what we talked about. And speaking of the Palmetto Sportsman Classic, I think we need to give a little more information on it. It is March 25th through the 27th at the State Fairgrounds there in Columbia, South Carolina. As Jim said, it's the largest other than the Great American up in Pennsylvania. It is the largest hunting and fishing expo east of the Mississippi. Tickets are $10 per day. VIP weekend pass is 18, which allows you to come and go all 3 days. And let's see, attractions. We got Whitetails of North America, which is let's see, the Milo Hansen, current world record, Missouri Monarch, as well as eight of the top 12 typical whitetails escorted by Boone and Crockett. Jim Vitaro's Hog Trough, which you know has got a bunch of bass in it, and they sit up there and teach you how to use all different lures and all. They demonstrate a lot of the stuff at ICAST. It's always funny. The fish just stare at it. Every once in a while, though, buddy, they'll pull out something new. And those fish are hungry, and it's fun to watch. Outdoors with Joey Mines is going to be there. SCDNR's Aquatic Education Pond. Like I said, you got them cornered. Can't go very far. And it's a good opportunity to kids to get out there and, you know, hey, first catch or just to catch them again. It's always fun. Vendors. Oh, gosh. Okay, there's retriever vendors. There's Ace Basin Custom Calls. Oh, man. Looking Aloha Knives. Angling Women. It's B.B. Dalton's organization. A-OK Turkey Calls. Bacon Jams. Wonder what that is. Berkeley Outdoors of Columbia, Big Buck Sauces, Boykin Spaniel Rescues. That's just, you know, you could go on and on. I mean, there's 300 and something of them, 340 odd, 400 of them. Just gonna be a good time. And let's see, what is this right here? Tickets info. Got that. Got that. Got that. And attractions. Okay, so got covered all that. And one thing the Palmetto Sportsman Classic is known for in South Carolina is antler scoring. there's already been a lot of it going on around the state. We tried to get to this a couple weeks ago, couldn't get to it. But each winter, the Department of Natural Resources measures deer antlers throughout the state with a major effort during this Palmetto Sportsman Classic. A total of 7,691 sets of white-tailed deer antlers, including 7,378 typical racks and 313 non-typicals, are currently ranked in the all-time antler records list. Minimum scores for the state, 125 points for typical and 145 for non-typical, and they are measured on the Boone and Crockett system. And that one right there on my wall missed it by less than 3 points, and I had 4 points in deductions. It's almost a perfect 8-point rack, almost identical, except for the I don't know what you call that. Is that the G1? I don't know. It's right next to the brow tines. If you're looking out on the left side, that brow tine is almost 9 inches long, and on the right side, it's like five and something. Other than that, it's almost a perfect rack. But yeah, I missed the record book by that little bit. That was just pure luck. I'm not a good enough deer hunter to even even if I hadn't made the record book to crow about my deer hunting abilities. But yeah, I got lucky and got a really nice one back when I was what? Gosh, was I 18? Really? Has it been that long ago? But anyway, so there you go. Let's see. Things you might want, things you need. Hunters must provide necessary documentation such as the date and county of the kill. And sign a fair chase statement when they bring a set of antlers for measuring. You know, there's some restrictions on antlers in velvet, broken and repaired antlers, or antlers separated from the skull plate. They cannot be officially measured for state records list. So, Anyway, I missed, dadgummit. I had it up here, the Fairchase Statement. Man, now I was closing tabs. Okay, Boone and Crockett. Okay, so according to Boone and Crockett, fair chase, as defined by the Boone and Crockett Club, is the ethical... Okay. As defined by the Boone and Crockett Club, is the ethical, sportsmanlike, and lawful pursuit and taking of any free-ranging wild game animal in a manner that does not give the hunter an improper or unfair advantage over the game animals. So... All right, so let's. Those already passed. Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the Pavilion Sportsman's Classic, they'll have a bunch of them there scoring. It'll be five or six guys scoring antlers, and it's always fun to sit there and watch them. Okay. In Camden, at the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources office, by appointment only during March. At the Clemson office, by appointment only during March. In Columbia, by appointment any time of the year. At the Florence DNR, by appointment only during March. In Garnett, at the DNR office, by appointment only any time of the year. Georgetown is by appointment only during March. And in Union, by appointment only any time of the year. So if you go to the Department of Natural Resources under antler scoring, you can find it. You can find all these phone numbers for the various offices. If you miss having your scored, then you can always do one of the appointment only times at one of those regional offices. That goes over there. All right. In the news, we do have a chronic wasting, some legislation on chronic wasting, funding like national research, which is some people have said what we needed all along. Because you've had this organization doing it here, this university doing it there. And chronic wasting disease has been around since the 70s. I'm trying to remember. Gosh, when was the first case of chronic wasting disease? I should have looked this up. Anyway, it's, I think it was 1976. Anyway, there is news on the chronic wasting disease front. Out of Alabama, January 7th, 2022, a sample recently collected from a hunter-harvested white-tailed deer in West Central Lauderdale County has been confirmed positive for chronic wasting disease. This is the first case of CWD detected in Alabama's deer herd. So we're one state over, Georgia. CWD has been detected in Tennessee and Mississippi in 2018, has been slowly moving towards Alabama, and this case is right across the border from some from Tennessee, their CWD zone. You know, CWD is tough, but for different reasons. Going on, first case of CWD suspected in Louisiana deer, February 2nd, 2022, the Louisiana Animal Disease Diagnostic Laboratory has reported a suspect case of chronic wasting disease to the Louisiana Department of Fisheries and Wildlife and Fisheries. The tentative diagnosis was made on samples submitted by LDWF staff from a hunter-harvested adult buck taken on private land in Tensas Parish. The deer was emaciated when harvested, thus a high-value sample for surveillance. So, let's see if it says in here. Yep, dadgummit. It's a neurodegenerative disease. You know, there's lots of information out there on CWD. But these are two new cases in two states that heretofore had not had CWD. So it's still spreading. You know, a lot of people wonder, is it here? I mean, we sample so many deer a year. Anytime there's a suspected case, you're encouraged to call the Department of Natural Resources and you know, tell them what it is. They'll ask you questions. And a lot of times they can figure out what it is by what you know, the description you give them. I do have a story here that I'm going to get to. I'm not going to get to it today, and I'm not going to rush through this one. But, yeah, CWD's four questions we all must answer. And another one, if chronic wasting disease is fatal, why aren't we finding CWD deer killed in the woods? And it's valid questions on both of them that we will, you know, we'll talk about. We need to have a big powwow on CWD and fair chase, and it's coming. They got to get through fishing and turkey season. Speaking of next week, I think we're going to have a great turkey show next week. Dadgummit. So this is the 12th, 19th. It might be. Jeez, this is the problem with trying to get to everything. It's hard. We may have to punt the classic show until after the Red Crest. Maybe during the Red Crest. Oh, boy, wouldn't that be something? Oh, and the scheduling over top of the classic by Major League Fishing doesn't appear to be affecting, or didn't appear to affect, the classic in attendance. Had my thoughts that maybe it would. I did get a phone call from Joe Pogger, who is the media relations guy with Major League Fishing. He was with the old FLW, you know, when I first started going to their events in 2014. Great guy, really good friend. He said, hey, looks like they had a good event. Kudos to them. It sets the bar really high for the Red Crest in Tulsa, Oklahoma in 2 weeks. Well, starting, I fly out the 22nd. So yeah. But, well, thanks for being in here. Hope you took something away from it. If nothing else, as always, remember to make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget that camera. We'll be back next week with either Turkey or Bassmaster Classic. You'll find out when you tune in. But anyway, thanks for listening. Have a great week, and we'll see you next weekend. More Woods and Water, South Carolina.
You hit me from behind. Yes, I'm gone to catch.